getting close to the end of Sunday school series on the healing miracles of Christ. We have this one that we're going to begin looking at today, and then one more after that. But in Mark chapter 10, we'll read verses 46 through verse 52. Have here the healing of blind Bartimaeus. We see that Matthew and Luke also record this miracle, as in all the miracles that we've looked at. We will look at all the accounts, take different things from each account, and that helps us get a complete picture of what is happening. But in Mark chapter 10, begin reading with verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, that is Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Again, just as we saw the last miracle, Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem. Remember, the last miracle was the healing of the 10 lepers that took place during the same time with Jesus walking toward Jerusalem to do what he came to do, that is, to lay down his life upon the cross. As he's walking along, we see the disciples are with him, and a great multitude. And as we get into the, as you get to the triumphal entry, you see that the multitude obviously is increasing along the way. But there's a great multitude of people with Jesus, so they are witnesses of everything that transpired on the way to Jerusalem. In Matthew 20 and verse 29, Matthew says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him." A great multitude followed him. And in our text in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, we see with his disciples and a great number of people. And again, without a doubt, this multitude is following Jesus to Jerusalem for the main reason they are following him, of course, is they too are en route to Jerusalem for the Jewish Passover. And again, as they walked, the crowd would increase for the reason of observing the Passover, but also for the reason of seeing what Jesus would do next. It was en route to Jerusalem that this particular miracle takes place. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, again, all record this miracle. Now, Matthew wrote that two men were healed, that there were two blind men. Notice in Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, in verse 30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." So Matthew mentions two men. Two men healed of the same thing, blindness. Two men doing the same thing, sitting on the side of the road, begging. Two men crying out to Jesus. Mark and Luke only record one man. That doesn't mean there weren't two. But Mark and Luke emphasize one. Mark gives us his name, Bartimaeus. So someone might ask, well, why didn't they tell of two men? Why didn't they mention two men? We don't know. We do know this, that it is obvious that they took particular notice, for whatever reason, they took particular notice of one of the two. And again, Mark mentions his name. So, two men were healed. Now, Matthew and Mark record that the miracle took place when Jesus left Jericho. Notice again, Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men. And then he goes in and gives us the detail. But they were departing from Jericho. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 again. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho. So Matthew and Mark are both recording that the miracle took place when Jesus left, or as he was leaving Jericho. Luke records that the miracle took place as Jesus approached Jericho. Notice in Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside. Following Jesus passing through Jericho, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus saved Zacchaeus. So there appears to be a discrepancy between the accounts of Matthew and Mark and what Luke says. Was he departing from Jericho, or was he entering Jericho? And most would say, well, it really doesn't matter. No, it really doesn't. But since there appears to be a discrepancy, and some lost people, not most, because most would not read their Bible enough to know, would pick up on this and say there's a contradiction. But there is no contradiction. We know that. Jericho, without getting into the history of Jericho, Jericho, of course, was the first city taken by Joshua. And you remember that they destroyed it, and a curse was pronounced that anyone who would rebuild that city, it would be cursed. And we read that in Joshua chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. About 500 years later, after Jericho was destroyed, after the curse was pronounced, it was rebuilt. It was rebuilt in the days of Ahab. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 16, around verse 33, verse 34. The apparent discrepancy between Matthew, Mark, And then what Luke says is explained by the fact that there was an old Jericho where the city used to be. And there was a new Jericho, the rebuilt city. Jesus was leaving old Jericho where the city used to be and was approaching the new Jericho, which many did not even recognize. God's people would not even mention because it was a curse. But he was approaching the new Jericho where the miracle took place. And I believe that is what happened, for whatever it's worth. Again, only Mark gives the name of one of the two who were healed. Now, some people, they like to dwell on the unknown, and the Bible warns against that. There's a lot of danger in that. And some will try to preach on this second blind man. Well, that's pretty hard to do because it doesn't tell us anything about him other than he was there with Bartimaeus and cried out with Bartimaeus. So it really doesn't matter to you and I who this second individual was. The details do not really matter, because if they did, the Lord would have told us. But the Lord did tell us about one, and he gave a lot of information concerning this man. And what we read here of Bartimaeus is the only information that we have of him in all the Word of God. This is the only time we read of him in all the Word of God. We read this miracle and you never hear from him again. So this is the only information that we have of Bartimaeus. We see the miracle provides much instruction. There is so much instruction in this miracle. There's so much hope. There's so much encouragement for both the saved and the unsaved, as in all the healing miracles of Christ. But notice in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we see Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. And then read in verse 52, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now there's quite a difference between those two statements. Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road begging, and it all ends with Bartimaeus seeing and following Jesus in the way. In other words, when Bartimaeus received the sight, he didn't go back over to the side of the road and sit down and continue begging. He was still poor, but he didn't go back to the side of the road and continue begging. His life was different. Now he followed Jesus in the way. So there's quite a contrast between those two statements. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road begging, the same Bartimaeus now seen and following Jesus in the way. So he went from blindness to sight. He went from misery to joy. He went from surviving to thriving. And between verses 46 and verse 52 of Mark's account, the condition of Bartimaeus is drastically changed. And as a result, there is a change in the way that he lived. What is between the fact that blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging and the fact that he followed Jesus in the way? What is the one thing that stands between those two statements? A personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference. And that's still what makes the difference today. The miracle, or the record of the miracle, provides a word picture of the condition of the unsaved, the hope and possibility that exists for the unsaved through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It also serves as a picture of the condition that the saved sinner can slip into. That is, the saved sinner can slip into a spiritual condition of sitting by the roadside and begging, basically living on the spare change of others, rather than living an abundant life. Even the saved individual can fall into that lifestyle. And the only escape for such a condition, again, is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That is what changed our condition from unsaved to saved. And many of God's people fail to realize that when they get in a condition that they shouldn't be in, the only thing that's going to change it is, again, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference, a lasting difference. So let's look at the condition of Bartimaeus. Again, it shows the condition of a lost sinner, but it also shows the condition that God's people can slip into. Again, Matthew writes of two blind men. That was their condition. They were blind. Mark writes, blind Bartimaeus. Luke writes, a certain blind man. So they all recognize this fact that Bartimaeus was blind. How long was he blind? We do not know. We are not told how long he had been blind. Was he born blind? We do not know. Did he become blind several years later? We do not know. We are not told. But we can say this. He was blind long enough to be known as blind Bartimaeus. So he was blind for a while. Again, it would be foolish to even guess or even to try to say how long he had been blind. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that he was blind. Those words, blind Bartimaeus, are descriptive of his condition, but they are also descriptive of his situation. And it's hard sometimes to separate condition from situation. So blind Bartimaeus describes both. Being blind, he was a man who lived in darkness. For however long he was blind, every day he would have to feel his way around. There was no clarity in his life. His life was a life of obscurity, which describes the unsaved sinner, but also describes the condition that God's people can fall into. Due to his blindness, there were no doubt many difficulties in his life that others knew nothing about. That's true even today. If you were blind, you would have difficulties that those who see would not have. So the very condition of blindness brings about difficulties. That's also true of a lost sinner's condition. A lost sinner has difficulties that a saved person does not necessarily have. We also see that being blind, what was common to everyone else what could be easily done by everyone else would be more difficult for Bartimaeus. Be more difficult to get dressed, be more difficult to walk down the street. All of these things would be more difficult to someone who was blind than someone who had sight. Due to his blindness, there no doubt was a degree of confusion. There was a degree of perplexity. Due to his blindness, I'm sure there were times when he stumbled, perhaps fell. So, without a doubt, his life was different. Also, due to his blindness, there were dangers in his life that others did not have. There were hazards in his life that others did not have. There were certain risks in his life that others did not have. And I'm sure there were even some fears that you would develop if you were blind that you would not necessarily have if you could see. So again, his life is different. His blindness would result in some instability. No doubt his blindness would affect his security, would rob him of some joy, would rob him of some experiences in life. And all of this is true of the unsaved sinner. And all of this is true of the condition that many of God's people can fall into. In addition to being blind, we see that we're told in Mark 10:46 and also Luke 18:35, that he sat begging. He's blind, and he's a beggar. Which, of course, is indicative of the fact that this man was a man with many limitations. Perhaps he couldn't work, therefore he was poor. He had many problems. He was a pauper. And because he was a pauper, begging was what he did. That's what he did. And every day he made his way to a certain spot on the highway or the way, and he would sit there and beg. He was at the bottom of the economic ladder, if you will. He had absolutely no prospect for a brighter future because he's blind. He would sit on the side of the road all day long, perhaps, and he would sit there with his hand out. He would be begging and he would be pleading with all who would pass by. And I'm sure through process of time, people got pretty accustomed to Bartimaeus being there. I mean, you could just plan on it every day. That's where he would be. And we see that from all of this, his life was really a life of gloom. His life was a life of gloomy routine. That's true of the lost sinner, whether they realize it or not. The lost sinner's life is a life of gloom. But it's also true of many of God's people. They have fallen into a condition of gloom. And a condition of routine that just adds to and continues their gloom. He appears to be helpless. His situation appears to be hopeless. Here is a man who is trapped in his own life, blind and begging. When you read of Bartimaeus sitting there blind and begging, at least I don't picture a man that is glowing in radiance. I see here a picture of misery. I'm sure that when he heard coins drop in his basket or whatever he had, I'm sure there were times he smiled with some gratification that someone has put a little money in his basket or whatever. And I'm sure he found some joy. He found some happiness in the alms that he received. But it never lasted. It never lasted. Soon, whatever coin someone dropped by him would be spent on food or whatever. It never lasted. Not a single coin, not a single alms given by man changed this man's condition. There's only one thing that could change his condition, and that was an encounter with Christ. That's true of every lost sinner. That is also true of saved people who fall into this kind of life. It's not the alms of man that is going to change your condition. Oh, they may bring you temporary joy. They may bring you some temporary relief. But come tomorrow, you'll still be walking in darkness, still be sitting by the wayside begging. Because that's not what you need. The alms of man is not what they need. They need a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. We see this man would receive some coins. The days would change, but his condition would not change. The seasons would change, but his condition would not change. You see, if these people were really being of help, or if they could cure Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus would not have reason to return to the side of the road begging. They just gave him temporary relief. And that's what's so sad today, is lost people are looking for temporary relief. There's a lot more than temporary relief in Christ. Saved people are looking for temporary relief. Oh, just give me one good circumstance. And then they're happy for 5 or 10 minutes or maybe a day. But then it all starts over again. Because what you need is more than temporary relief. What you need is more than feeling good for a moment or two. What you need is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ that can change your condition. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day.